it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good evening and welcome to a special edition of the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled you joined us this evening. It's the first time in 7 years that I have changed our theme song. We did so tonight for obvious reason. Thrilled to have you with us this evening, albeit belated due to the post-game show. Be taking calls all throughout the show this evening at 316-869-1330. Comments via email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. It's been a crappy week for many of us. Someone that we all admired, someone that we learned a lot from, someone who we cherished was taken from us this week. And tonight's episode is going to be dedicated to Charlie Kirk. We've got a great lineup of folks that will join us. Governor Jeff Collier will be with us a little bit later in the show to talk to us a little bit about, you know, his experience. I know he's experienced some of the hate and the vile rhetoric that he's experienced. Ryan Whalen from the Turning Points USA chapter at Wichita State University, and Tony Barton, who actually worked with Charlie at Turning Points USA Faith, will join us here coming up in the next hour. But we want to hear from you. We want this really to be more of a conversation. I'd like to hear your reflections and your thoughts and hear how this whole thing has impacted you. But folks, you know, we're living through a dark and an ugly moment in our politics. And I received a number of calls this week from media outlets, from folks, and I hear the phone's already ringing, which is great. And tonight, I'm not going to mince words. A beloved conservative voice, a man who devoted his life to God, family, and country, and the conservative principles that he held dear, was murdered while doing the very thing this nation needs more of, speaking directly to young people, asking them to choose virtue over vice, responsibility over instant gratification, and courage over cowardice. And he was killed for that. He was murdered for that. He was assassinated because he dared to, and because he was impactful, because he made a difference. He was assassinated because he dared to tell college kids not to get abortions, be monogamous, and that biological women should only compete against other biological women in sports. Charlie Kirk wasn't killed because he spoke. He was killed because children listened, because kids admired him. Charlie Kirk built a movement from scratch. He left college at 18, built Turning Point into a nationwide, global, actually, force of thousands of campuses and inspired millions. He was a generational voice, brash, bold, effective, and he believed in reaching young Americans where they are. He welcomed debate. He staked everything on persuasion and the marketplace of ideas. Now he's gone. And that is a tragedy beyond words. His widow, his children, his families, his friends, our prayers are with them. And while we pray, we must also act. We must demand truth, justice, and an end to the poisonous culture that makes this kind of violence more likely. Think about that. Charlie Kirk went from leaving college at 18 to building a $92 million a year conservative movement by the age of 31. That's what he accomplished. Imagine what he could have accomplished had this jackwagon not taken him from us. And frankly, the whole both sides thing kind of goes out the window when you see how many leftists with their job title in their bios feel perfectly comfortable openly posting horrible things about Charlie Kirk. And if they feel this comfortable posting these disgusting things openly, just imagine what they say in private to each other. Completely hateful people full of contempt for anyone who rejects their warped worldview. And frankly, I'm tired of hearing people like Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or those on the left who go around condemning this violence when, guess what? They can't call the president of the United States or MAGA or people like Charlie Kirk, Adolf Hitler or MAGA Republicans or Trump, Nazis or threats to democracy for a decade. And then when someone tries to kill one of us, you suddenly condemn it. The left, the mainstream media, politicians are part of the toxic rhetoric that have caused this. When public personalities tell disturbed people that someone is Hitler or a Nazi or a threat, you're telling crazy people to kill them. These folks are lighting the fuse. And then when these unstable killers go bang, they act like nothing happened. They act like they have no responsibility. And then they're the same folks who inspire them, go on CNN and MSNBC and call for unity and universal background checks. Doesn't work that way. And let me be crystal clear. Political violence is vile. It's criminal and it's unacceptable. There's no excuse. There's no moral shorthand. There's no outrage that turns murder into anything but a crime that must be punished to the fullest extent of the law. We are a nation of laws. We don't settle disputes in the streets. Well, certainly the right doesn't. We don't cheer when a political opponent is harmed. We hold people accountable in the courts, at the ballot box, and in political debate. What we are also witnessing, however, is something else, something corrosive. And it is just as real. A culture of dehumanization. For years now, we have watched public figures, pundits, and some in the media license and amplify crude, hateful, and dehumanizing language about their opponents, us, conservatives, Republicans, MAGA. You cannot call people Nazis, fascists, and threats to democracy at a scale and then be surprised when someone disturbed hears that as permission to cross the line from words to action. Rhetoric has consequences. Names and words matter. Leaders have responsibilities. And if we are honest, there's a two-tiered standard in how the media and many elites respond. When conservatives have questions about public policy or public figures, we are attacked as maniacs or conspiracy lovers. When abuses occur on the left, we get half-hearted coverage, quick excuses, or a shrug. That inconsistency sows resentment and cynicism and fuels the very tribal anger that ends in these kinds of tragedies. And the anger's not only on our side. Social media right now is aflame with celebrity posts and tasteless jokes about a man who is dead. And it's shameful. It's repugnant. It reveals a sickness in our civic culture. And public figures and private individuals, too, for that matter, owe us better. Teachers, journalists, entertainers, and politicos who traffic in hot rhetoric owe us better. And we must call out this hypocrisy and hold people accountable for their reckless words. But we must do so without endorsing or encouraging violence. So what do we do now? Well, we need to call out this culture of celebration. Employers, universities, and platforms that tolerate or amplify calls for violence or that reward people who revel in murder must be exposed and must face consequences. If people in the public sphere are openly celebrating murder, they must lose those platforms, reputations, or jobs for that matter. If a reporter, a politician, or a university official thoughtlessly inflames tensions, call them to account. Push for consequences that are lawful and measured, not for revenge, but for deterrence and for the restoring of civic norms. We must protect speech and protect people. We must defend the right of conservative voices, and for that matter, liberal voices, to be heard on campuses and other public squares without fear of violence. That means better campus security, better coordination with law enforcement for large and small events, and a commitment by university leaders to safeguard free expression rather than censoring or scapegoating it. We will never defend free speech if we tolerate violence. And we will never uphold public safety if we dismiss credible threats as mere political theater. And most importantly, we must carry on the fight. Charlie Kirk reminded us that a life of courage and virtue isn't easy, but it's worth living. His example should inspire us all to stand boldly for what's right. We cannot give up. We have to act. The memory of Charlie's life should not be called to revenge. It should be a call to rededication. Turn sorrow into service. Turn grief into movement that respects the decency while being unafraid to fight for what's right. Attend a Turning Point event. Volunteer for local candidates who will defend free speech and parental rights. Support a local candidate. Go walk doors, make phone calls, write a check, vote, organize, build better institutions so that no one else pays the price for political disagreement. Charlie Kirk's life reminded us that courage, faith, and a determination can move mountains. His legacy should make us bolder in our witness, deeper in our faith, and deeper in our commitment to the rule of law and the sanctity of human life. We must take his energy and channel it into building a culture that prizes debate over destruction. Don't get encouraged. Every time we feel tired, every time we feel discouraged or overwhelmed, I'm going to think of Charlie Kirk, his widow, and his two kids. And then I will return to the work of destroying the evil ideology responsible for his murder. And I encourage you to do the same. So rest with God, Charlie. Your fight is over. Ours is just beginning. We'll take a quick break. And then we'll take your calls. We'll also be talking with Ryan Whalen from Turning Points USA at Wichita State University. Tony Parton from the Turning Points, former employee at Turning Points. Dr. Jeff Collier and many others. Our studio lines are open. 316-869-1330. Look forward to talking to you. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Don't forget the Day of Action. It's the third Saturday of this month that actually, I think, happens this Saturday, the 20th. It's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city, of our county. It's a great way to get involved, to get energized, and it's a great way to make a difference. Want more information, you can find it at americansforprosperity.org. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Sarah, you are on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Hi, John. Yeah, you know, I haven't really been politically active since 2020 with all the COVID nonsense, but I've been following Charlie Kirk for over 2 years. I've been listening to him daily, and he really got me closer to God and Christ, even though I've been Christian since I was born. But watching what happened live on the 10th really shook me to my core and made me realize, like, we have to stop being silent. We have to stop thinking that they're going to intimidate us and threaten our businesses because they're going to do it regardless if we speak up or not. And I just saw the Crown Uptown Theater post to Charlie Kirk's face on their marquee. And within an hour, the Crown Uptown took it down off of their Facebook page because of the horrible, vile things that people were saying. And we conservatives have to fight back in a peaceful way, but just by being online and sharing our words and our thoughts and our beliefs and not being scared of the consequences. Because if Charlie can go out there and do what he did in such a powerful way, we can for sure do what our part, even just online.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the sad part is businesses like that. I saw exactly what you're talking about. It wasn't even an hour before they were basically shamed into silence. And how sad is that? And it's not like they were out there saying, you know, putting out a Trump sign, which I know a lot of businesses wanted to do that and couldn't. They were just paying tribute. They were just saying, this is a man who did wonderful things. And, you know, hey, let's respect him and let's think about the wife and the two babies. And nope, we're going to shame him. And it's so tragic that people are going to that extreme that we're now going to basically try and shame a business for expressing condolences. It's so pathetic that they would do that.
Yes, exactly. And I just encourage all of my conservative and even fellow moderates, when you see vile, hateful comments online, just thank them for boosting conservative posts in the algorithm, because that'll shut them up.
Exactly. Sarah, I appreciate the call. Thank you. We are going to take calls all throughout the show. We're going to have guests in and out of the studio and on the lines, but we will take calls all throughout the show. Coming up after the top of the hour, Ryan Whalen from Turning Points USA chapter at Wichita State University will be with us. We'll be back right after this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to a special edition of the John Whitmer Show. Memory of Charlie Kirk on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Let's help make it that way by telling your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM in radios. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show on Facebook and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. That's the best way to get all the latest updates on the show. Our studio lines are open. They will be all throughout the show, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. With us now is Ryan Whalen. He's the, I don't know the title, but president, the chairman, the grand poobah at the Wichita State University chapter of Turning Points USA. Ryan, thank you for joining us. You know, I know I've had you on before to talk about Turning Points. I wish this was a better occasion, but thank you for joining us, brother.
You know, it's been a difficult week.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, it's been a difficult week for the country, but even more so at Turning Point. It's been hard for everyone. But definitely, you know, seeing a lot of the support of, you know, definitely, you know, you're talking about some of the bad actors that have been out there, but the overwhelmingly, I mean, I've received thousands of text messages, calls, from all sorts of people that I know, people reaching out to us on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, countless emails. You know, I wish it didn't have to come to this.
Yeah.
Charlie to, you know, die. Like, I mean, I know people who were at the event on Wednesday. I know people that were probably within an arm's reach.
Oh, in Utah.
In Utah. And my heart goes out to them. Everyone that was there, especially, you know, everyone in the chapter out there at Utah Valley, because I know that this is taking quite a toll on them. But I'm grateful, you know, that the community's really come together. And, you know, at Wichita State, we're putting on a prayer vigil this upcoming Tuesday, the 16th, which is in 2 days, at 7:30 PM on the East lawn of the Radigan Student Center, which is, originally we were scheduled in the Grace Memorial Chapel. But it became very clear, very quick within the first few hours that would not nearly be big enough. So we decided to move it outside. And we're expecting a pretty large crowd. So,
yep, I will be there. I know we are going to send that out through the Sedgwick County Republican Party. We've posted. I've seen hundreds of people who've indicated that they plan to attend. And you know, it's interesting. The liner intro there was from Riley Gaines, kick off this segment. I texted her, and because I've gotten to know her over the years, and you know, I worry about her. When she came here to KU, I texted her, told her, "Hey, I know you're coming. I want to come up." And we talked a little bit before, and but I worry about her. I worry about because the way that the rhetoric has ratcheted up, it's just not. It's gone from. Because I've gotten death threats, and that's got to pale by what she and Charlie, obviously, what Charlie had to go through. But even what, you know, I remember when she first came on my show, I actually did the first interview she ever did, which is, I think, how we got to know each other.
Yeah.
And you know, we talked, and then as she's come on the show subsequently, the amount of security that she has to have, the amount of things that she has to put up with, it pales from what originally she had to deal with.
Well, and I think it was last November I was able to go down and I saw her at an event at Oklahoma State that our Turning Point chapter put on there. And even just, I think they had four or five officers alone. And even like, you know, afterwards, you know, when we were, you know, meeting her, all of the Turning Point officers from around our region that helped with the event, just the fact that how strict the security was then.
Right.
And for someone like Charlie, I mean, I know he has his own, people are saying they didn't protect him enough. I mean, we treated Charlie like, I mean, like he had his own secret service. He had his own security detail that traveled across the country with him. I mean, it was, I think it was always in the back of our mind that it could have happened, but I don't think that we ever could have imagined like it actually happening.
No,
and I mean, and we're all still numb.
Yeah, I know. First off, I wish I hadn't watched it.
Unfortunately, I'm in the same boat as you.
I wish I had not seen it because it's a disturbing video. And if you have not seen it, don't go look. I Dr. Collier and I were texting when the video came in, and he advised me, don't go look. And of course, I did.
I saw it when I was driving on Kellogg.
Oh, so yeah, So I'm telling the audience right now: if you have not seen the video, don't go look, because you don't want to see it. And it's because I don't want to remember him that way. And because I used to watch, my wife would harass me because I would sit and I would watch so many of his debates because they were so great and it was so fun.
Yeah.
Because and he had such joy, and the whole point of his, you know, prove me wrong, and he did.
Yeah.
And those conversations were so inspiring, and the beauty of those conversations were so many of them were faith based.
And I was so fortunate, you know, in his short. I've been with Turning Point since I was 16. So, I mean,
how old are you now?
I'm turning 20.
Okay. So you're a kid. You're just a kid. I feel ancient.
So, I mean, I was so fortunate to be around him the amount that I was in his very short time on this earth. I mean, he's, like you said, he started Turning Point when he was 18 years old, and he built it into a household. And I got to see the transformation, especially, you know, I joined in 2022, and I've been a president with them going into my fourth year now. And just seeing it grow into this household name, like, you know, the impact that we've had on this country, and that, I mean, it's all due to Charlie. And I mean, he was our rock. And, you know, I've been able to, you know, meet him several times. I was on a Zoom call with him, you know, just a few months ago. And I mean, the last time I saw him was in July. And just the presence he has in a room, like, I mean, he's the hardest working man I've probably ever met. I mean, just the passion that he not only had for Turning Point, but for the Lord, for his country, for his family. I mean, he was an amazing man.
Yeah. Well, brother, I will be there Tuesday. Again, if folks are interested, they can find, there's a link to the event on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So they can go there. They can find out more information. But it's Tuesday the 16th, just coming up here in 2 days at 7:30. It's at WSU. There's more information there. I would recommend they get there early. It's going to be packed.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun. It'll be inspirational. And, you know, the other thing I would tell folks is it's Turning Points USA WSU on Facebook, correct? Because you guys are growing, the chapter's growing, and you need support. If they want to make a donation, if they want to help, if they've got kids, if the listeners have kids who are, you know, wanting to get inspired and finding a way to get involved, yours is a great chapter, a great way for them to do that.
And anyone else, I mean, last official update I heard is that we had 34,000 fill out our how to get involved form. And
wow, that's amazing.
Headquarters is still shut down as far as I know, and I don't know if we have a a reopening day. I'm fortunate enough to be traveling down to the funeral next weekend. So, but we're ready to hit the ground running.
Yeah, I think, you know, I saw Erica Kirk's video, and she nailed it when she said, you know, this is not they didn't slow anything down. If anything, they've awakened the beast. And I just think great things are to come, and I know the great things are going to come at the WSU chapter as well. And we will see you Tuesday, my friend.
Always appreciated your support.
Ah, well, you've got it, brother. You've got it. We'll take a quick break, and then Tony Barton, who worked with Charlie at Turning Points USA Faith, will be with us. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, special edition of the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you about our good friends at Americans for Prosperity. They've got their Day of Action coming up. It's every third Saturday. That's coming up this Saturday, the 20th. It's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference. You have the power to help out folks, to help inform voters. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Sign up. Get involved. Get out there. Help make a difference. And it's just a great way to get involved. In the meantime, you can also find more information, again, AmericansForProsperity.org. You can also like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. One of the things I wanted to do is we were thinking about having, you know, spurring conversation and talk about Charlie and his impact, for lack of a better term, on how he impacted folks. Is I wanted to reach out to a friend of mine, a gentleman who I served with in the Kansas legislature. His name is Tony Barton. He and I served together in the Kansas House. He got a promotion. I got stuck there. But Tony is a former regional manager for Turning Point USA Faith. And he had an opportunity to work with Charlie, and just he's a dear, sweet man and a good friend. And I wanted to reach out with him. Tony, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
How you doing, John?
It's good. Fine. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry that I haven't had you on the show for a better occasion than this one, but at least I was able to bring you on to reminisce, and to share with us, kind of, you know, your memories and your time. And most importantly, you know, we had Ryan on the show here from Turning Points chapter here in Wichita, but I guess one of the things that I wanted to ask you, and you knew Erica, or you know Erica, I what do you think happens now? What goes on? How does Turning Points go looking forward, if you had to guess?
Well, first, let me just, I can't believe that we're talking about Charlie in the past tense.
Yeah.
That's the first thing.
Yes.
I can't imagine, and excuse me if I break down some.
No, brother, it's okay.
So shocking. And what Erica is going through, his family, her family, it's just unimaginable what they're dealing with and what they're facing right now. I had a friend, attorney friend of mine contacted me and understand I've phone messages, text messages. I had a lady call me from Virginia and not even in the region that I worked, but he said that the sleeping giant has been awakened, and he was referring to Turning Point in TPUSA Faith. And I told him, no, I said, that's not true. I said, Turning Point USA and TPUSA Faith have been on the front lines trying to wake up everyone else.
Yeah.
And now that movement is going to grow exponentially. It is going to increase, and the gospel and the messages that Charlie put out there are going to increase across the nation and the world. That's what I see from my perspective.
Oh, I think you're right. I mean, I've seen just in the last couple of days, I've seen images from literally, you're right, from across the world. I saw just today, I saw people in London who were chanting, "We are Charlie." I saw people from Papua New Guinea. It's amazing to think that this man had that kind of global reach, that people are mourning in countries all across the world.
all over Oxford, all over the world, and all over this nation. And I'm actually pleasantly surprised in one way. I know that everyone is hurting. I imagine that stadium on Sunday is going to be overflowing into the parking lot and into the streets. But this is the magnitude of this young man's reach and what he has put in motion. And it was my honor and it was my privilege to be able to work for him for the years that I did. And you had mentioned former, and I've not made this announcement at all, but I've been asked to join the 250th anniversary tour that's going to be taking place next year, still in a bit of a contractual talk right now, but that should be cleared up here real soon. So I've kind of transitioned. My kids are on, they're listening now. I've not had an opportunity to tell them, so they're hearing this part for the first time. But I'm looking forward to that and as well, and the opportunities for Turning Point, Keep the USA Faith to join us in that celebration of our nation. It is going to be incredible. And Charlie will be a big part of that, guaranteed.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that was the faith part of it. His, if you watch some of it, well, I mean, look at just what happened in Utah. The first question that he was asked, and the first thing that he spoke on for 15, 20 minutes was about his faith. And if you watch some of these videos, and I love watching his videos, he spoke so often and so eloquently about his faith. And I think that's what compelled so many people. And it made it so hard to hate him. If you were on the other side, you could disagree with him. But it's hard to hate a guy who's actually talking from his heart about his faith and about his belief in God. How do you hate somebody? Like, obviously someone did, but it does make it harder to hate somebody who's trying to connect with you with that as his basis. He's not, you know, I don't think he had a hateful bone in his body.
I never saw Charlie spit, swear, punch, yell at anyone. And I'm talking whether it was at these events at the schools or when we were together. Never saw him do anything like that. Never put anybody down. Offered the opportunity for anyone that even had a belief separate from what he believed to come to the mic and to talk. He was into having these discussions. And the thing that I'm most disturbed by, and you mentioned the haters, I have gotten text messages, videos from people who absolutely despised him and called him every name under the sun. And I'm sitting here, I'm going, you know what? I work for the man. I know from the inside who he was. And from my vantage point, this man was nothing that the haters were saying. And so, you know, I've spent the last, you know, couple days here going back and forth and online, just putting things out that are truthful and factual about Charlie and Turning Point and Turning Point Faith, which is the division that I worked for. Him and Rob McCoy, I think probably 4 years now, felt that there was a need to reach out to churches and pastors, community leaders, and they created the faith department. And the faith department is headed up by Lucas Miles right now, is off the charts, going to across the nation, regional managers, going into churches, going into communities, talking to people about, you know, Charlie, talking about the message, reaching out to offer the help to make biblical citizens. And again, that's something that's going to increase across the nation. The number of groups that, you know, we started with, it was about 4,000. Then I think it was today, I heard 18,000, that heard 32,000 requests are out there to start a TPUSA group in some form, whether it's in college or in the community. So this is just going to continue to catch fire. And, you know, Erica, just listening to her speak, was just incredible. I don't know how she did it, but she's right. Charlie's name and his voice will not be shut down.
Yeah, Ryan said a few minutes ago, he said, I think it's up to 34,000. And
34,000. Unbelievable.
That's, yeah, and I think you're right. I think it will only grow. I think clearly this animal, his intentions, he's certainly not gonna get the results he was hoping for. If he wanted to silence Charlie, he's not. The movement will go on. The organization will go on. And I think it's like you said, I think he will have awakened the beast. One of the things I wanted to tell folks, and I appreciate so much that you're doing this. You will be here in Wichita Thursday to speak to the Sedgwick County Republican Party. We have our monthly meeting coming up on Thursday evening, and that's at the social is at 6:30, and the meeting starts at 7. You'll be here at the Wichita Builders Association. So if folks want to hear more about your recollections and your just, you know, the time that you had with Charlie, they can come to the Sedgwick County Republican Party's monthly meeting coming up here on Thursday, correct?
That is correct. Kim Gish got a hold of me, and I chatted with her about it. And then I received a call from Hutchison for Friday, and I just wanted to be available to. Well, you know, I think it's just people just need a connection.
Yes.
That's what I'm finding out. They're needing a connection. And, you know, if that connection comes through me, fine and dandy. I'm good with that because I'm, you know, I get asked, well, Tony, I don't know how many times, how do you feel? I go, I'm broken and I'm angry.
Yeah,
so
many people feel the same way.
Right.
And I only met him once in a hallway at Intrust Bank Arena, and I interviewed him once on this show, but I felt like I had such a connection because, I mean, yeah, he gave me 12 minutes on the air and a few minutes in a hallway, but I've watched him talk so many times that I felt like I knew him.
Right. And there's such a connection once you know and see, and that's what I'm hoping and praying for, patriots to rise up,
yeah.
People who love God and love their country, and especially as we head into this 250th anniversary of our nation, and that's all colors, creeds. It does not matter. This is about America, and this is as American as you can get, Mr. Charlie Kirk. And like I said, it was my honor and privilege to work with him, to talk with him, to be with him, to be with those that were serving and working with him and for him. Just an incredible, incredible opportunity there. And I look forward to what's coming in the future as well.
Brother, I appreciate you. We will see you Thursday night. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you Thursday, my friend.
Thank you, my friend John. I look forward to seeing you. It's been a while.
Likewise, brother. Stick around. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then former Governor Dr. Jeff Collier will be with us to discuss how today's political climate is impacting political campaigns. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 to 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Our studio lines are open. I know they're blinking. I'm seeing them blinking. We'll try and get to your calls. 316-869-1330. We'll be back right after this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, a special edition of the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS by listening to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, one of the people I wanted to reach out to is a former governor, Dr. Jeff Collier. I know he had an opportunity to meet Charlie when at least on more than one occasion. But I know that Dr. Collier in particular has had to deal with death threats, not only when he was governor, but as a candidate. And I'm curious, Dr. Collier, thank you for joining us, but I'm curious if you could kind of give us some insights into how this political climate is impacting campaigns. I know that you share with me some of the threats that you've been receiving recently. I know in my conversations with Congressman Estes that he's been receiving threats. It's just a whole different climate that we're having to deal with these days. And when you were governor, it must have been bad, but is it really that much worse now?
Well, let's talk about, what's happened this week. We have the greatest respect for Charlie, and what Tony had to say about him was just so perfect.
Yeah.
Tony is so humble on this. Here, this is why it touched a chord. Is it wasn't just that an activist had died. It was this confirmed what everybody has known has been going on in the culture for the last several years. And that is that this leftist rhetoric, we can shut people down back in COVID. We can, get them out of the system, and that our universities, the universities are front and center on this. But we're also seeing this all the way down through K-12 education. And this struck a nerve, and everybody saw that this problem is a huge problem in our culture and in our schools, in grade schools, high schools, and our colleges and universities. And we have been pointing this out. Last week, we had this amazing situation at K-State where they had hired this anti-Semitic.
I saw that, yeah.
Guy, this was a guy who had been suspended and fired from Cornell University for his anti-Semitic attacks on students and all of that. And he ended up being hired by Kansas State University and being hired to be an investigator for their Title IX programs.
Right.
The discrimination programs. Somebody who has a true history of discriminating against people, they hired him to do that. And so when we pointed this out, the outrage was immediate. And the university did the right thing, and I'm very proud of them, for doing that. And we pointed that out, before in our discussions with them. They told me they will get to the root of how this happened. Well, now that Charlie Kirk has been assassinated in a very brutal, very public way, we saw this at a university. And, what we're now seeing is we have state employees that are saying incredibly hateful things. They are, these are people that are on the public payroll that the governor oversees, that the legislature oversees. These people are coming out with comments that he deserved it.
You're referring to the employee at the Kansas Department of Education, correct?
Yeah, there's that one. Actually, people have been sending us several of these. There are other ones as well. Let's go. We have to deal with the big problem, and what a campaign's. And what we have to do on the policy side is the legislature needs to investigate, where does this happen? How are we allowing these people, to be in there? Some of these people need to be terminated immediately. The governor needs to do that. She has not lifted a finger in this. And then we need to go and, the legislature, put in statute, DEI programs need to go away, and they certified that, but these people still exist. And what happened is with Charlie Kirk's death, they are showing themselves across the state.
Right. Right.
They are, some of these people, I've received death threats, and, is quite distressing, of course. I won't stand for this.
Well, but it also comes, it's like I mentioned in my monologue. I think part of this stems from the rhetoric. It's every time they call Trump supporters racists and extremists. Exactly. Nazis and fascists. And
that's right.
Look, we can't just, it's one thing to disagree. I disagree with a lot of folks, but it's different when you disagree versus calling someone an existential threat to our nation. You know, that's a whole nother difference, because
right.
if someone's a threat, then you're in danger and you have to do something about it.
That's right. And, you know, and the value of life on that other
right.
side
yes.
goes away.
Yes.
Okay. And so, you know, we now have, you know, there was a poll done at one Kansas university where 44% of students said violence is okay against somebody that you disagree with politically. That's not who we should be raising. And we have a deep problem at the university level, but it goes on down to other levels as well. You know, this is not just one little simple fix. And so as a, you know, policy wise, we have to tear this out root and branch.
Yes.
On this. And, you know, we need to be civil. We need to make sure that, you know, we can have a fierce discussion, just like Charlie Kirk did, you know, and it's amazing. So Charlie Kirk, 1 year ago yesterday, Charlie Kirk was at K-State. And
right. And they shut him down.
And they turned off yes. his microphone.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I remember
on
that.
That is not free speech. You know, yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of this. And you know what Charlie did? And this is one of the reasons why we should respect him, is Charlie just smiled, stepped out into the crowd, and kept on talking
right.
and interacting with students. And, you know, anybody that's been to one of these, I mean, these debates, you know, they're debates. Okay. You know, and believe me, they say naughty things in, you know, in the British Parliament, and they'll call, you know, but they don't go to these extremes.
Right.
You know, but they have fierce disagreements. And then afterwards, you go and have a drink together.
Right. They go to the pub and have fish and chips. And
that's right.
Right.
That's what we need to be as America. And that's how we get our best ideas to come
yes.
forward. And so we have to change. We have to change a lot of what we have to do over the next few years.
Governor, I'm up against a break, but I do want to really quick remind folks that we've got coming up. I know KNSS is one of the hosts, but we've got the Governor's Choice Chili Feed and Forum coming up in October on the 11th. You will be there. Folks will have a chance to hear from, looks like all the candidates will be there. We'll be broadcasting it. And it's a great event. If folks are interested, it's down in Cowley County in Winfield.
Yeah.
But if folks want information, they can find that at CowleyCountyGOP@gmail.com. They can email or just visit the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And of course, if they want information, if they want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah. So you can catch us at CollierForGovernor.com, or you can follow me on X at Dr. Jeff Collier. You know, and there, you know, you'll see, you know, one of the things, you know, the story that we talked about yesterday, we've had, you know, between our Facebook and that, we've had like 500,000 impressions.
Wow.
People know we have to make big changes. And, you know, that's the advantage of having been a governor and then you come back, just like Trump. When you come back, you can be working on all fronts. You just can't do, you know, it's not just do one or two big things. We have to really change our state economically, what's going on at our universities and grade schools, making sure kids have great education, and make sure that Kansas is the best state in the country and that we have real jobs,
low taxes, and this is a growing place again.
Well, and Governor, I know you shared some of those threats that you received with me, and there's just never any excuse for that. So let me be the first to say I apologize for the jack wagons that are doing that. So thank you again for joining us. If I don't see you before then, I will see you in October in Winfield.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, John. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, my friend. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open, 316-869. Would love to hear from you on your reflections of Charlie Kirk. You're listening to our special presentation of the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to a special edition of the John Whitmer Show in memory of Charlie Kirk. On 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, next Saturday is another day of action for our friends at Americans for Prosperity. It's a great way to get involved, a great way to make your voice heard. Do something. Get off the couch. Find a way to get involved. A couple of events coming up here in the next few days. Don't forget, Tuesday is the memorial, the candlelight vigil out at Wichita State University, being put on by the folks at Turning Points USA WSU chapter. There's information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page on that. On Thursday, the Sedgwick County Republican Party is holding their monthly meeting. Tony Barton from Turning Points USA Faith will be there. He'll be we'll reflect on Charlie, talk, we'll exchange some stories. It's a great monthly meeting at the Sedgwick County Republican Party. It's at the Wichita Area Builders Association. Social at 6:30. The meeting starts at 7. There'll be information on that. We'll share that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and the Sedgwick County Republican Party's Facebook page, and the Governor's Choice Chili Feed and Forum at the Cowley County Republican Party in Winfield. That information is also on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So lots of good events. That's coming up October 11th. All that information is on our Facebook page, so check it out. Dan, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Hey, John. It's just good to hear you again.
Thank you, sir.
We've been friends a long time now.
And you admit that in public? That's that could get you in trouble.
Well, I don't admit it around friends. this really tore me up. Potential of this young man is so invaluable. And what he was breeding with all of his abilities was an army of activists. And my sentiment for that, the farmer's greatest task is not the harvest. It's the planting of the seed. And Charlie was a great farmer.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
All the seeds that he's planted are just now taking root, and we're looking at a firestorm of his seed coming across the world. I'm so impressed. The only thing I caution that we have to be careful of is that they're going to try to shadow and get some of these chapters in their name.
Yeah.
And so they got to be scrutinized very, very carefully.
They do. Fortunately, I think it's pretty obvious that his wife is got fire in the belly and an incredible passion. I mean, you saw that. Such a strong-willed woman. I think the organization is in good hands, and I have faith that she will do wonderful things. Thank you, Dan, and we'll see you next week.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.